Are you a rebel seeking transformation in your recovery journey? Then 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. 366 daily meditations. This book by the SoberPod Recovery Podcast host and professional rebel, Carr, will help guide you towards a new way of thinking and living. Each daily meditation offers a fresh perspective, practical advice, and a healthy dose of Carl's irreverent humor to help you stay sober and embrace the challenges of life without drinking, drugging, or shitting your pants. Whether you're just starting your recovery journey or looking for a daily dose of encouragement and laughs, 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. So, if you're ready to transform your life and become the rebel you were meant to be, get your copy of 366 fucking days sober today. Available today on Amazon.com.
I am Carl. I'm an addict, alcoholic. My sobriety days, August 22nd, 2014. This is SoberPod.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. Sober pod, keep it authentic, no facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.
Sober Pod is a podcast dedicated to the idea that one addict or alcoholic helping another is crucial to building a life in recovery. Join us on this season as we read from our book, 366 Effing Days Sober, and as always, stay active, stay sober. Hello, ex-party people. We will not be recording this weekend, but may record another podcast on Tuesday. But not to leave you in hanging, we wanted to post an episode from our friends in recovery at Friends in Recovery Podcast. Ed, Dan, and Beth recorded an episode this weekend where they used the book 366 Effing Days Sober, and it's a great example of how our book can be used to facilitate your own meetings and meditations. So, also, you know, after you're done listening to their episode coming up next, head on over to facebook.com/groups/soberpod and post your comment on which page or date we should use for our next show. So whatever your favorite page or date is from our book, put that in the comments under the SoberPod group. And as always, don't forget to stay active, stay sober. See ya.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Friends in Recovery Podcast. I'm your host, Ed, Jersey Ed, some Ed. And I got blah, 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 Beth and Dan. What is going on here, guys? Can't we just, like, say our names anymore?
No. This is AA. We don't have names.
That's right. Sorry, Jersey Ed. Dan, what are you, like, 12 years old? And Beth, what are you, 13?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, we're just going to stick with that.
All right, there you go. So, guys, hey, welcome to the show, everybody. And I'm glad Dan and Beth are on the show. It's been a while since, you know, guys, you guys left me hung out to dry last week. Did you see my show? I think I did a pretty good fucking job.
I didn't see it.
It was solo.
I'll watch it today.
It was.
Oh, my God. I was just like rambling on. I'm like, I don't know. This show is going to be 3 minutes long. Next thing I do, look down, it's like a half hour. I'm like, holy shit, man. I'm thinking to myself, maybe I don't need these guys on this show anymore. So
you don't. It's all about you, Ed.
That is. It's all about me. Thanks, Beth. Yeah, I'll keep you on the show, Beth.
Okay. I see where this is going.
God. Anyways, if you want to get a hold of us, if you want to vote on who should stay on the show or not, you can call us at 800-737.
They're all going to vote for Bambi.
I know, no matter what, because Bambi hasn't been on here in 10 years, and they're all going to vote for her. So 800-737-0933, I believe, is it. 800-727 0933 is our hotline number, non-emergencies. Give us a call there if you want to talk to one of us. And what else? Email address, help@friendsandrecoverypodcast.com. Dan did not get an email address yet. We will get him an email address. So Carl will put our email addresses up here. And please, guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, leave a comment, and whatever else you do to get our likes above 4. Please help us out.
Well, this week it'll only be 3. There's only 3 of us.
There's only 3
that's
of
right.
us.
There's only 3 of us. Well, I'm sure we can get Bambi and Jill to give us a like, too. So we can get 5 this week. So
maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But before we do any of that, while you guys are liking, subscribing, and sharing, please listen to this important announcement.
Are you a rebel seeking transformation in your recovery journey? Then 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. 366 daily meditations. This book by the SoberPod Recovery Podcast host and professional rebel, Carl, will help guide you towards a new way of thinking and living. Each daily meditation offers a fresh perspective, practical advice, and a healthy dose of Carl's irreverent humor to help you stay sober and embrace the challenges of life without drinking, drugging, or shitting your pants. Whether you're just starting your recovery journey or looking for a daily dose of encouragement and laughs, 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. So, if you're ready to transform your life and become the rebel you were meant to be, get your copy of 366 fucking days sober today. Available today on Amazon.com.
Okay, guys, get the book, right? Isn't that what we say? Here it is. Get that book. Be there. Be square. Thank you, Carl. Beth has a book.
I have a book, but I don't have it with me.
And you two, you just don't want to go over into the next room and get it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's, I love the effort put forth into this show. I stay up all night planning and I get this effort. Come on, guys.
I showed up this week, which is better than last week.
That is true. That is true.
I'm moving in the right direction.
Yes, I will give you that, Beth. So, Dan, what was your excuse for last week? Oh, you worked or some shit.
I worked.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I'll let you go.
Jill, it was. Here's the thing. I worked because you worked. That's the thing.
That's how that works.
That is 100% right. You know.
That's so.
Oh, that's man, that is funny. So that's just a kind of an insider joke here.
Yeah.
In the biz, right? There's Jill. Hey, Jill. She's on Facebook Live. She was sick last week, guys. Yeah, she's on Facebook Live.
Hi, Jelly.
Hi, Jill.
We miss you, Jill.
Jump
on. Where are you, Jill?
Jump on.
I don't know if we should say where she's at. Let's just leave her, her location undisclosed for this week because we need Dan to stay here.
Yes.
We should do a Where in the World is Jill?
Where is Jill? Yes. Where is Jill? Oh, don't tell everybody. Shh. Oh. Delete that comment, Jill.
Delete that comment. I miss Jill. Where the hell is Jill?
I know. She's probably on 95 somewhere, I'm guessing. But she's on. Let's keep it this way. She's on special assignment for Friends in Recovery Podcast. We have her out in the field, right? That's what we have her doing.
Yeah.
All right. She's gonna go.
She's gonna be closer to you, Ed.
She is, absolutely. 2 hours away.
Wow.
I know.
I'm coming down to where you are in a month or so.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to come down. My best friend, Elizabeth, lives in your town.
Oh, well, let me know when you come. Hey, guys, welcome to the Ed Ciancio Personal Life Show. Everybody's coming down to Charleston. Did we all forget that we're on a podcast?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Do you want to give my address out while you're at it so the four people can show up at my door that listen to this fucking thing anyways?
Yeah, maybe that's what'll get us viral. We just give out your address.
Give my address out. That's it. My license plate. I'll hold my license up to the thing.
Just give us your social security card and we'll be good to go. That's
it. Whatever it takes to get more than 5 people, guys. So how are you guys this week? I really, all kidding aside, I missed you guys the last couple weeks. The show was a little tough doing it on my own. If I could, I probably, if I have to, I probably could do it alone, but I miss you guys. I really do. It's just much easier and much more enjoyable with everybody here. And it just, life is much better when we're a family in a group. So.
Yeah.
See that?
Sure.
Oh, well, we're going to read from the 366 fucking days sober in a minute. But I was on a meeting this morning, our Friends in Recovery meeting. And if you want to go on our meetings, go to our website, friendsinrecoverycommunity.org, and all our meetings are there, or AA.org, or intergroup, right? You go to intergroup and we're on there too, Friends in Recovery Community. But our 8 a.m. meeting this morning, Neil read a thing out of the 24, out of the Daily Reflections. But before he read something out of Daily Reflections, he said that this is a way that we all connect, right, through AA on a daily basis. The whole world connects by opening that book up and reading it, and we're all on the same page. How cool was that? I never realized that, right? And I never realized that in all these years of reading literature and going to meetings and being sober. It just dawned on me how crazy that is. You know, we're all connected by opening that book. So, and also by opening this book, about seven of us are connected. So,
yes,
because Carl did sell 100 books, but seven were only
sell more books, or somebody's going to come take his Bentley.
Yes, right. I know. I think they're repoing it as we speak now. So
yeah.
Get those book sales up, guys. Go to soberpod.com.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so somebody asked me the other day, how do you get one of the books, right? Oh, it was last week. So I put it up in the comments and soberpod.com. So after the show, I clicked on the thing, and boom, it's like right there. You don't even have to look for it. You just like click here and you go buy the book right there. So if you want to buy Carl's book, 366 fucking days sober, go to his website, and that's soberpod.com, and listen to his podcast right there too. But here's a cool thing about this book, guys. You want me to shut up, or you want me to keep going?
Keep going.
Okay. So what's the name of the book called?
5 days drunk.
5 days drunk. Relapse for the best of us. No, it's 366 fucking days sober, guys. Guess what year it is?
2020.
No, it's not 2020. It's 2024. And there is 366 fucking days this year.
That's right.
It's leap year.
It's leap year, guys. So we get to read that page and then rip it out for the next 4 years and tuck it back in when 2028. Holy fuck, man.
Yeah.
Right? Is that crazy?
Oh, God. I'm so old.
You're not old. Good God.
Do you want to start with your birth date and then we'll work up to your social?
That was good, Dan. Anyways, so yeah, so we will be reading not the extra month and not extra day in this month, but Dan is going to read today for us. It's February 24th, I believe, that we're recording this.
All right. February 24th. They say, whoever they are, that 60% of your mental health can be improved by physical exercise, sleeping well, and eating right. These three things will do more for your mental health than medication or therapy. Would you suspect that to be true? If you answered yes, then why the fuck are you not doing it every day?
I love that question.
Why do you think that you can slack off and not do it at all? Do you like being miserable? Do you? Oh. Well, that explains a lot. Never mind. And the reflection of that, was that sarcasm? I am just not sure. Is the author telling himself this stuff? Or is it me?
It's you, Dan, definitely.
This is so confusing. Am I confused? And the daily challenge. Set a schedule where you go for one long walk, 20 minutes, or two short walks, two 10-minute walks each day. Maybe you can listen to the Friends in Recovery podcast during those walks.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
And like, comment, subscribe, and of course,
tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends about Friends in Recovery podcast. Thank you, Dan the man.
Whoo, let's go.
Well, I'm guessing I'm the only one that exercises on this show, so I'll take the exercise piece.
Okay.
Beth, I think you're a professional sleeper. And Dan, yes, sir, you love to eat, correct? So look, we got all three covered.
Listen, <There you go. laughs> listen, I work out mentally, you know? You know what I'm saying? I do a lot. Listen, I do a lot of learning. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's
I'm
right.
At my desk and I'm mentally.
Those chest muscles, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I do a lot of talking, a lot of blinking throughout the day, man. My eyes are strong as shit. I'd be blinking all day long, Ed. Okay.
So we're going to talk about food, sleep, and exercise, right?
Yes.
Do you believe that? Let me ask both of you guys. Do you believe that it's better than medication?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's dicey.
I'm going to find
really?
A picture for that. The podcast.
I like that. Dan, well, I'm going to go with Dan. Why do you think it's better than medication, Dan?
So I'm going to tell you why, right? So I did some time in an institution, right? Mm-hmm. During that time, right, I changed everything about my life, where it was, you know, my eating habits. I was lucky enough that I was able to eat healthy. You know, I was on a high protein diet. I stuck to a strict workout routine. It was like the Navy SEALs workout routine. You know, I had the book that I would follow, the regimented workout routine.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that when I started that journey, this was like, 7 years ago, I was like 140 pounds. And when I was done, I was 220 pounds.
Wow.
I'm going to find a picture and I'm going to show it.
Yeah. We'll put it up on the website if we ever know how to do that.
Yeah. It's a huge, huge, huge difference. And, but what I'm saying is, like, every day, my body continuously felt better. Now, I wasn't smoking. I had quit smoking. And just the benefits and the way that my body felt every single day was good. But then after, say I didn't work out for a day, like, I ended up having to work out 6 days a week, because if I didn't and I didn't release whatever my body was releasing with the mm-hmm. folic acid within my muscles and like the endorphins in my brain, like, I wasn't raising the dopamine levels to the level that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we were talking about, you know, having like addiction shifting, you know, moving from
before
one
the
thing
show, to, yes, we yeah, were
moving from one thing to another. So it was like alcohol for me, and then moving it to food, and mm-hmm. then you know, once I had enough food in my system to feel good, I moved it to exercise, and then mm-hmm. watching the food intake. And then monitoring the food and, you know, setting a healthy diet.
Yeah, but do you think, let me stop you there. Do you think that's an addiction to going from food to, and from, obviously the addiction is the drugs, alcohol, but going from food to exercise? You know, everybody says, well, you're just treating one for the other, because I exercise like a maniac, you know, and I, you know, I'm constantly running and constantly challenging my body and seeing how far I can push it, right? But I don't think, I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, what's your thoughts? I mean, you think it's an addiction?
No. So there's healthy and unhealthy, like, addictions to have. You can either switch an unhealthy addiction for a healthy thing, like, for a healthy thing to be addicted to. Mm-hmm. You know, like it takes 18 to 21 days to break a habit and to form a new one, right? Mm-hmm. So during that time, you can either switch it for something good or switch it for something just as bad.
Good or evil.
Right. You know, so switching it for exercise. And, you know, yeah, there is a point to where we can do it in excess and it becomes unhealthy for us. You know, mm-hmm. if you're working out and you're doing 1,000 squats a day, I would say that's unhealthy.
Well, yeah. And you're not eating correct and correctly. And yeah, I mean, you have to have it all balanced. You have to have the food, the sleep and the exercise. I'm going to bring our sleep expert, blah, 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 Beth, to still talk a little bit about some sleep here. Beth is our resident expert here and we bring her quite frequently on the show to talk about sleep. And
oh, yes, I love sleep.
She does love sleep. But all kidding aside, Beth, I mean, you do like to sleep, and when you do, you find that if you sleep too much, it's like Dan said, it gets just, you know, like way out of balance. And if you don't sleep enough, or what's your thoughts on the sleep? Because I'm not a good expert on sleep.
Well, I think your body will tell you, and your body is not going to let you oversleep. Like if I go to bed too early, even if I've had an emotionally draining day, I need a solid eight hours. Mm-hmm. But if I do nothing all day and I go to bed early, I will wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, oh, I'm awake. My body, my body has decided it's done sleeping. Yeah. I think that, so there's been lots of studies on sleep and being like catching up on sleep. So like there's only a certain amount of time that you have to actually catch up on the amount of hours your body needs. If mm-hmm. you don't catch up, you're depleted. So I take sleep very, very seriously. When I wake up in the morning, I take it slow. I go to bed early. I go upstairs at 9 and I usually fall asleep between 10 and 11. And my body lets me know how much sleep I need. I actually have not woken up to an alarm more than once or twice in like the last year. Mm-hmm.
That's when you know you're getting the correct sleep. I do. So here's my thing on sleep. And I don't know if this is right or wrong. First of all, I heard that say you stay up all night watching Netflix, all night long, and you go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, you have to be up at work at 5. You get 3 hours of sleep. You're dragging ass all day. It's Friday. And you go home and sleep at 6 o'clock and you wake up 9 o'clock the next morning. There's no catching up, right? There's no catching up
There wasn't. There's a couple of days. Like there's a couple of days that you can like make up sleep and then your body will return to its regular rhythm.
Okay. Okay. That's number one. Number two, before the job that I have now, I was working at another place and I had so much anxiety because owners change and new people came in and, you know, whatever. And, I was fighting like to go to, like, I would fall asleep, but then I would be up at 1, I'd be up at 2, I'd be up at 3, I'd be up at 4 and so on and so forth. And then I just get up. But after a while, after I found this new job and life is good and you know, I can sleep now. I do get up sometimes because I wake up early. I mean, I do wake up early, but I go to sleep early. Like you said, just have to freaking go to sleep when I'm tired. But instead of fighting, like if I get up at 3:30 and try to go back to sleep till 4 or 3 o'clock, I don't do it. I just get up. And like you said, slowly I'll say my prayers. I'll do push-ups. I do push-ups in the morning before I even brush my teeth. I do, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff right after my prayers, but I don't force myself to go back to sleep. I just don't. It just doesn't serve me any good purpose anymore. And, you know, so maybe I'll kind of take a power nap during the day and then I'll be fine to go, you know, the rest of the day. So what's your thoughts on that as far as sleep goes?
So actually it's really funny. Like what I was thinking about when you were talking is that if your body needs a certain amount of sleep and everybody's different, like everybody needs, some people need 4 hours a night. Some people need 6 hours. I need a solid 7 to 8, sometimes 9. I also have major depressive disorder, right? So my brain doesn't make all the right chemicals. So there's a lot that you can do with food and exercise to like get your sleep patterns correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I think Carl's very much on the right path. But if you have a chemical imbalance and you have like major depressive disorder, like I used to sleep like 14 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm on medication for major depressive disorder. And when I take care of myself, I can have normal sleep, right? But if I'm out there and I'm, you know, if I'm eating, so if I eat too many carbs, if I eat like, right, if I'm just like in an eating mode or I'm eating my feelings, which I love to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna sleep more because my body's not functioning right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's like, I don't know, I think that there's like two different things that you have to take into consideration. Yes, these mm-hmm. things do affect you as a whole person, but if your brain is not making shit, then no amount of eating and exercise is gonna, or sleep is gonna bring you to a good place.
That is true. If you're, yeah, you're right. And Dan, what you, when you did this study in your institution, how did you, did you notice that like once you ate correctly, you slept better? And once you exercise, did everything affect your sleep once you started putting all that into place?
Yeah, for sure. But I would never eat right before I went to sleep.
Mm.
I would never do that. But I would always, you know, I would work out, you know, once a day in the beginning. Then I would work up to twice a day, once in the morning, some cardio. And then I would work out right after lunch. So that way, mm-hmm. you know, all of the folic acids and all of the proteins and stuff could kind of get where they needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I just, it, everything affected my sleep, but I can tell you like the more I gained weight, the more it like, I had health effects on me though. Like my mm-hmm. feet, I developed neuropathy from gaining so much so fast. And then also like, I don't know if you ever notice, like if you like fall asleep with your arm up or anything like that, it, like falls asleep.
Yeah.
Like just having that extra weight, like that always happened. It was weird. You know, I don't have that problem anymore. Like I said, I work out, you know, the eyelids when I look at the computer screen and things like that. But, there were benefits to it when I did work out on a normal basis. Mm-hmm. And I did have a much better improvement in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And a better quality of life, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But the responsibilities were less too.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, so, I'm just trying to adjust my microphone here. Sorry, I can't hear.
All right. Yeah, all we hear right now is it going.
You hear that noise, right?
Yeah.
That tick tick tick. Anyways. Behind the scenes of we need a producer. Anybody want to produce this show? Give us a call. The pay is nothing. We're probably going to fucking bust on your chops and you know, whatever. So if you want the job, come and take it. Cause I can't do it anymore. Anyways, but you know, and exercise, you know, once we tie all that stuff together, to sleep, the eating right, like Dan was saying, and you know, and then the exercise, first of all, the exercise, like, you know, when I go do my long runs on Sunday, I run anywhere between 10 to 20 miles every Sunday. I'm wiped out by the afternoon. Right. I mean, rightfully so, because putting through my body through a lot of stuff, even though I've been doing this for the last 25 years, it still puts a body through a lot of stuff. That's number one. And then I also noticed one, and I'm just using Sundays as a point here. Sundays I eat ravagely. I eat whatever I eat and eat because day? What's that?
Is it like a cheat day?
No, because I ran so much, my body needs that
Saturday.
On my long run days. So you know, even on my regular days where I run 5-8 miles, whatever it is, I still get hungry. But you have to fight that urge, you know, not to, you know, I want to eat everything in sight. And Dan, I'm one of those guys that eat. I love to eat before dinner, right? I mean, before dinner, before bed. I would, if it was up to me, I would take a meal in bed with me and eat it and go to sleep. That would be my choice, you know, but we have other people
sound like
in
a
the
bad
house.
Plan.
Another, I know. But here's the thing. When I wake up in the morning, I feel like crap because, you know, that stuff just gets all, you know, just sits there. And then I have a friend, Clint Gore, who I'm doing it's called an Everest or we're climbing the equivalent elevation of Mount Everest, 29,029 feet in August. And he got me to do this and he's like this fitness and breath special and sleep expert and everything you read in this, we read today, Clint's that guy. And I love talking to him about this because he said, I have a morning routine. He said, you should have a night routine too. He's like, great that you have a morning routine, but what's your night routine? My night routine is clicking the TV on and falling asleep and having Stacy grab the remote and turning it off. That's my nightly routine. And he said, you can't do that. He said, TV and this shit, this computer stuff and phones are no good before you go to bed. He said, do not do it an hour or two before, turn everything off. And you'll get the best night's sleep ever. Well, yep. I have not done that yet. He's been telling me for the last, 6 to 8 months to do it. And I can't do it. I just can't. I don't know why. You know, like the last two nights I had the TV on for maybe 10 minutes and I clicked it off. But
that's good.
That's better, right? Is that better?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, listen, you're moving in the right direction. So I definitely experienced the same thing. So almost never watch TV before bed now. I put an audiobook on.
That's a good idea.
I put a 30-minute sleep timer on my Alexa and I listen to my book until I fall asleep. And then the next day when I like ready to listen to my book, I have to like be like, oh, rewind 5 minutes. Rewind 5 minutes. How fast did I fall asleep last night? So yeah, and I've noticed that's an easier transition to get away from the TV.
Okay. So something to stimulate, but it's still stimulating you, right? It's still
it's not bad for you in any way, shape, or form. You can do the same thing, fall asleep to a podcast or fall asleep to, they have like all sorts of guided meditations on and stuff. You can do that to go to sleep.
He said, like, I do a lot of tapping. That's my big thing. Yep. It's part of my big thing in the morning. And I was tapping before I went to sleep. There is a tapping routine. And sometimes I would like find myself like dozing off, like while I was tapping and, you know, but I just didn't get into it. I did it for like 2 or 3 days. And then, but
it worked too well. So you were like, oh, fuck, yeah, this. Like,
fuck, man. Are you kidding me? I have to have some fucked up shit in my life. Come on.
How am I going to watch TV if I'm falling asleep?
I know. And then my hands in the way, I can't see. I'm, you know, forget it. Fuck that. You know. No, but the routines are really important. So even we're talking about food, sleep, exercise, and it's in Carl's 366 fucking day sober book. Is that it helps with depression, it helps with anxiety, it helps with all that stuff. I believe it does, you know, and the food part is tough for me to get down. I mean, I think that might be a lot of people's issue is the food. I can exercise. You want me to go exercise? I'll exercise all day long. I'll stand on a treadmill. I'll run 1,000 miles. I'll, you know, whatever, you know, but the food thing is like, I guess because we've been so trained, I don't know. I mean, you know, the night eating to me, guys, and I'll tell you where it stems from, is I used to work a 3 to 11 shift. I would come home. This was early recovery. I would come home at 11 o'clock at night and I would eat, right? And then I'd watch TV and go to sleep probably around 2, 3 o'clock, somewhere around there. And then just, you know, and that was my routine, but I get hungry at 11 o'clock at night almost every single night. Sometimes I act on it, sometimes I don't. And I know it's not good for you when you're laying down and you're trying to have your system rest exactly. It can't. So
it rests. It's digesting. It's working.
It is absolutely. So Beth, I want to go back to what you said about meds. You believe in meds over exercise over all this and eating healthy?
No, I believe that specifically for people in early recovery, that diet, exercise, and sleep is definitely the first thing you want to do. And try to see how much better your quality of life is. And then if you get to a point like I did the diet, I did a little bit of exercise. I've always been good with my sleep. And it's still like, it was just like, I was not hitting the mark. Like something still wasn't right. And then I went to a psychiatrist and I got on meds. And I swear to God, like I was taking care of myself. I had 10 years sober. And I literally was like, oh my God, this is what I've been missing my entire life. Like I felt, I mean, not normal, because what the fuck is normal? But I felt like I was at 100% for the first time in my entire life. And I really, the last 2 years before I decided to pull the trigger on going to a psychiatrist, like I really did. I did St. John's Wort and I did, right? And I have major depressive disorder. So it's like, you can't exercise your way out of a chemical imbalance. Yeah,
you're right. Now, that is true.
So, and there's other things that people need to take into consideration. 12 to 18 months for somebody really who's chronically alcoholic or was chronically using drugs, you need 12 to 18 months just to let your brain chemistry go back to reset to find out if it will make serotonin, dopamine, and what's the third one? I always forget the third one. Anyway.
These
are actual drugs, right? So these are, there are three drugs in your brain that your brain makes that is actually made in your gut, but that your brain uses to make you feel happy, to give you elation, to do all these like happy feelings. And what happens is when you drink or you drug to an addictive state, your brain stops making them because the brain says you're already on too many drugs. I'm not giving you any more. So your body stops producing these chemicals in your body, and it can take 12 to 18 months of no substances in your body for your body to start saying, oh, yeah, you might need this.
We might get something. No, just to clarify, you're not snorting those meds anymore, right? You've got past that.
I actually am making them now because she's faster.
There you go. No, I'm just kidding. Do not snort your meds, people.
Do not snort your meds.
If you do, call Friends in Recovery's hotline and we can get you an admissions number.
No, we won't. We cannot give out admissions numbers. Sorry.
Oh, my God. But it's like a lot of people have gone on meds in early recovery and found that they didn't need them 2 years in. For me, meds were not available when I got sober. Ed, when you and I got sober, like you and I lived through the introduction of SSRIs and what that looked like in 12 step. And everybody was like, you can't take pills.
You can't take that shit here.
You can't take that shit and be sober.
I remember that.
And look at the landscape now. But, you know, I was 10 years and it's just, it's not. So many people think it's like a good or you're bad or there's something wrong with you that like you have to take meds to be normal or, you know, at 100%. And it's like, listen, major depressive disorder clearly runs in my dad's side of the family. My dad, my grandfather on my mom's side committed suicide. Like we've got some shit going on here. I didn't do anything. No. Why would I deprive myself of feeling better? But
exactly. Why would you deprive you? We get into recovery, guys, to be a better person, to feel better, to have a better quality of life, not to, you know, kind of white knuckle it until, you know, the day we die. That's not what we're here for, you know, and you know, it just it's. You know, listen, everybody has an opinion. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. But which one do you listen to? You know,
Listen to a medical professional. That's
right. Exactly.
To.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and my sponsor even said, Eddie, you know, if you have to go on medication, go on it. You know, he's an old timer. He's one of those AA Nazis. And he's just, you know, but he said, if you have to go on medication, go on it, you know, and you know, and that's this is not I'm not a doctor. None of us are doctors, but. You know, we always consult your doctor before, you know, whatever,
it actually says in the big book that we're supposed to lean on medical professionals and psychiatrists. These are considered outside issues. These are not considered alcoholic issues. Your brain chemistry and whatever medication you need to be on has nothing to do with AA.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Right. So we do a 12-step program. We start the food. We do the exercise. We do good sleep. We start to learn responsibly. But if you get to a place where you're just feeling like, man, I just can't get to 100%, mm-hmm. go see a fucking professional.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And that's it. And yeah, if you get these three things down and it, listen, you're going to improve no matter what. If you do these three things, no matter what, you're going to improve. There's going to be improvement, but may not be where you want to be or where you should be or where your feelings are. You know what I mean? And yeah, go see a professional and get this stuff in order, you know. Before we close, this is a good topic because we can go on and on and on and on forever on this topic. I mean, we can break down the food, we can break down the sleep, the exercise, all that stuff. But, again, if you're experiencing any of this stuff that we're talking about, if you want to try to, look for a diet, that's up to you. You know, you got consult your doctor before you exercise. Of course, go talk to a doctor, but I can personally tell you, these three things, the sleep, the food, and the exercise, helped me to get to a way better level than where I was all those years ago. And it still gets me to another level. And especially as we get older, you have to use your body for exercise. And the sleep, you need sleep. I mean, I don't know what the ratio is, whatever it is. But the food too, because as we're getting older, our bodies don't process the same way as it was when we were 25 years old. So, that cupcake today versus a cupcake when we were 28 years old, burns a little bit different today, and also, I think it also controls our moods. All three of these things obviously control our moods. And when we get 100%. These balanced or in the right zone, things can just roll off our shoulders a little bit easier. So, Dan, any closing words on any of this before we go?
No, I just challenge everybody to get out and do something to remain active every day, because it improves mental health, stability, and increases your dopamine levels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Even if it's a walk around a block, guys, just go do it. Seriously, just go walk around a fucking block. Yep. It can't hurt you. I mean, unless you're walking into fucking traffic and not looking both ways.
Don't do that.
Jesus Christ. Don't do that.
It's really the only way it's going to happen, you know.
Friends in recovery told me to go walk out in the road.
Not telling you to walk in the road. Friends in recovery is not telling you that. Beth, any closing words besides not looking both ways?
I just can't stress enough that don't do what other people are doing. Don't do it because other people are doing. Listen, everybody in my industry up here in New Jersey is taking a Sepec or Sempec, whatever that.
Yeah,
they're all taking it. And I'm like, all right, I'm very overweight. I'm in perimenopause and I could take it. I have to make decisions for me. I can't be doing things, and you can't be judging anything, your body, your spiritual worth, your sleep, nothing. You are a complete individual. Do research, read some shit, practice critical thinking, make decisions for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do not follow the crowd.
Yeah. Be yourself, because everybody else is taken, guys. You can't be anybody else. Seriously.
Yep.
And you know what? All that stuff, medications are good. All that stuff is good. Ozempic is good for some people. It's good for, you just have, I love what you just said, Beth. You just make the right decision for yourself. Research, talk to people. Talk to people who've been on it, people who haven't, whatever it is, just do the research. But guys, get some exercise, eat one healthy thing. I'm going to challenge you just to go be healthy. I'm going to challenge everybody on the food part of things. Eat one fruit a day, just one. If you eat no fruits a day, eat one. If you eat three fruits, just add one more fruit or vegetable to your diet and see the change that it's going to bring to you, and in turn, those two things will help your sleep. So you don't really have to even change your sleep. If you eat right and you exercise, that'll fall in naturally into your sleep. So guys, great show. Thank you for, coming on and not leaving me stranded again and trying to talk all by myself.
It's no problem, man.
Damn good job, guys.
we'll let you know how you did. We'll watch it.
You guys watch it and read it. And what did you like? Comment and share.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Do smash all that shit. Subscribe button.
That's it.
Notifications. Smash that
subscribe
button. Turn on notifications.
Turn the notifications on. Do everything you're supposed to do, guys. But eat healthy, sleep right, and exercise, and stay sober, everybody.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. It was a sight to see him. Yeah. Breakfast was Sprite and Seagrams. Oh. Wrestling with my vices, exercising my demons. My blessings were blocked, so I never got the message. I'm stressing, I'm only 12 steps from an exit. Damn. Regret it, because my imperfections were perfected. I ain't run from it, I accept it and rep it. It's a badge to me, good stories come from a tragedy. And when you survive, the glory will come in act three. The wait's over, 366 fucking days sober. Morning affirmations that can start the day for you. Use my favorite book. Mark for a placeholder. Finish when the day's over. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sober pod. Keep it authentic. No facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.
Are you a rebel seeking transformation in your recovery journey? Then 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. 366 daily meditations. This book by the SoberPod Recovery Podcast host and professional rebel, Carr, will help guide you towards a new way of thinking and living. Each daily meditation offers a fresh perspective, practical advice, and a healthy dose of Carr's irreverent humor to help you stay sober and embrace the challenges of life without drinking, drugging, or shitting your pants. Whether you're just starting your recovery journey or looking for a daily dose of encouragement and laughs, 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. So, if you're ready to transform your life and become the rebel you were meant to be, get your copy of 366 fucking days sober. Today. Available today on Amazon.com.